Tonight on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, we have the king of all geeks, Elliot Serrano, joining the show. And from Dannenberger Family Vineyards, we have the one and only Susan Dannenberger, with food from Matt Baldino, owner of Commonwealth and Little Fort. We've also got music from the Daylight Sinners. And it's Friday, so that means we have our political roundtable of Ken Jagabowski, Eric Elk, and Dave Lundy. And now, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio here in Chicago, Illinois. To start your weekend off right, here she is, Patty Vasquez.
Hello, Friday. Where have you been all week?
So happy to be live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me, as always, on Friday night is Elliot Serrano, riding sidecar for all the craziness. And tonight, all the deliciousness, we have in studio with us Susan Dannenberger from Dannenberger Family Vineyards. It's a long day on this Friday, because you started out with the Carnarvon Wagon, and that's a circus right there. There's a lot of voices.
Been drinking all night.
I have to believe that with the work that you do, you have to be very selective and you have to pace yourself. Do it, because we talked to you last week and you had just bottled 200, yeah. 200 cases last Friday night. And tonight you're in Chicago. It's a beautiful night.
It is gorgeous. I cannot believe this weather.
I know. Isn't this perfect? I'm so glad you came up here for this weekend. Tell me a little bit. You told me that the bottle we've already opened for Wine and Wine Down with Dannenberger Family Vineyards is right out of the barrel.
I pulled it out of the barrel to bring here.
This is amazing.
It's not finished, but it's already delicious.
Yes, it is. Now, you were saying that it'll be another year before it's ready?
Yeah, it needs to tone down a little bit. It has a lot of black pepper.
You know, people tell me that a lot too, Elliot. You need another year to tone down. It's all that pepper. It's all that peppery.
I'm a little too spicy.
A little too spicy.
Too spicy.
Your husband Doug was saying that you guys bought barrels specifically for this. What's the difference between the other? Is it partly because the wine that's been in there previously? Is there something you seek out specifically for the next batch?
This one I chose to do a hybrid barrel, which means I have French oak and American oak together, and the American oak kind of tones down the pepper a little bit with vanilla. It was really intense, and so far it's been the French oak will like draw out the length and the finish, but the American oak kind of tones down the front, so it'll help.
Yeah, all of that sounds wonderful, because I had I can't remember which white wine we were having last week.
Paper Moon.
It was Paper Moon. It was lovely.
Thank you.
And I'm more of a red girl. And
me too.
Yeah.
I love my reds.
And people like kind of laugh when they hear, you know, oh, what do you pair it with? I mean, I could eat red wine with popcorn balls. You know, whatever it is,
what you like.
Exactly. Now, you know, everyone's always surprised, I'm sure. Elliot did have a little bit of that looked like, huh, this is from Illinois, when he tasted that
wait,
wine. Did
good?
Did you have a little bit of that?
Everyone was giving me that look. What face did I make? I mean, you're like, wow.
It was a jolt. You were jolted by it.
I was like, this is really good. I mean, no, you were saying, here it comes. You went, whoa, there it is. And then I was like, oh. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a wonderful, wonderful wine. Yeah. How did you get involved? Because we've talked to you before about your family farm being, you know, for generations. Was it corn and soybean?
Yes, it was.
And that wasn't your thing? You didn't want to be out there?
I know. Can you picture me? No, I can't.
I mean, I've been out there. I worked for the Corn Marketing Board when they did the seeding and they did the side work. You know?
Yeah, you come down there a lot.
I do. And that's how we met, actually, was my work in Springfield. They had their, I think it was the craft beer, and I was so happy that there were other people. There was wine. And you were telling me your story. So this is, five generations in with your family?
Yes, I'm the fifth generation.
And it's at 12341 Irish Road right there in New Berlin.
Yes, I was a Sullivan. My dad named the road because it was Ollie Sullivan's there.
That's how much the farm has been in the family. They get to name their own road.
Wow. Right?
That's when you know, like, what road? Oh, it's the Sullivan Road, but they call it Irish Road just to be welcoming to everybody. Where was it? Do you have contact with any family in Ireland at all?
My parents went back there, and my they've met, you know, gone back and met all the cousins, and we've traced back our tree and that whole thing. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
And you told us last week that you didn't want to let the property and the land, you know, become something else. So you started doing some vegetables and your own produce. But again, I still don't know how someone, I know your husband bought you a kit.
Yeah.
But I know what, I mean, like, not that many people go from kit to, I'm going to, you know what, I'm going to crush the wine empire and make my own. My own wine.
I was so intrigued by the thought that I could tweak this kit. I was like, this is all it lets me do. What if I want to do something else? And so the next year, you know, I got grapes and started doing it, reading more. And there was this bet between my husband and myself about if I could get 10 gold medals, then he'd let me open a winery. So I had to prove him wrong. And
you didn't tell us that before. You got 10 gold medals?
Yeah, that's what that was the deal.
That's almost like he double dog dared her.
Yeah, it was kind of like that.
10's kind of a steep climb.
He didn't think I could do it. So
right.
Then he was like, oh, 10, yeah, that'll be easy.
The poor guy's off camera. I mean, off mic. He should be able to defend himself. He's got a look at his face like, come on.
I'm just going to. Yeah, and she not. She met it and then surpassed it and now has a Dannenberger Family Vineyards. And you have a great, you have a couple of great events coming up tomorrow and over the weekend. Tell us a little bit about the event you have tomorrow with the grape stomping.
We have a lot going on this weekend. I'm raising money for a local cancer institute because I've been going through breast cancer for the second time. So Simmons Cancer Institute in Springfield, we're grape stomping, and then the money goes to them. You pay to stomp grapes and give money to them. And then we're also having a dog adoption for Paws down in Jacksonville.
What?
Yeah, we're going to have dogs there. So cute.
Sweet.
And then Sunday we're raising money for St. Jude. So we've been doing St. Jude's through the month of October. I'm trying to get to a certain number. We're actually almost halfway there, so we might make it.
And how do people get involved? Okay, let's start with the grape stomping this weekend, because you can stomp the Cabernet Franc tomorrow and put their footprints on then
on
a shirt.
On a t-shirt, yeah. So it says, I stomped. You know,
that's perfect.
Stomp out breast cancer, that kind of thing.
I keep thinking about that I Love Lucy episode.
Everybody does, yeah.
Grape stomping. So I'm wondering if crazy stuff like that ever happens at a grape stomp. You know,
some people do. They get a little excited and then fall, and so then you get a little messy. It's fun, though.
That's a great event. And that's to benefit Simon. Is it Simmons?
Simmons Cancer Center.
Simmons Cancer Institute. And that helps patients who can't afford gas or wigs, lymphedema sleeves, you know, so that they need some compression after surgeries and things like that.
Exactly.
So that'll be tomorrow. You can go to Dannenberger Family Vineyards. And by the way, I mean, New Berlin is about 2 hours and maybe 2.5 hours, 3 hours tops if you have to stop and, you know, go and get some Hardee's or something. And you can go to the grape stomping tomorrow. Go to DannenbergerFamilyVineyards.com for information about that. When we come back, let's talk about the Made a Bra for a Competition. Well, you made a bra competition?
Yeah, we do one every year. We make a unique bra for a competition to benefit breast cancer.
Let's talk a little bit more about that and other events and some of the music groups you have coming to the Dannenberger Family Vineyards. It's Wine and Wine Down, and it's Friday night. I hope you're all having a great evening. More after this on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer. Go to geektome.net for all the great things that he writes. And outside the Showcase studio, a crowd is gathering, and we have to say it must be because of Dannenberger Family Vineyards. Susan Dannenberger joins
Cheers.
Us. The
Cheers.
Winemaker in studio. She's the world-renowned. How many gold medals have you won now for your wines? At least the first 10 with just the kit.
I think at least 20.
There we go. Doubling it all. Yeah, just get them all. You should really get, like, they should have platinum now.
I don't think she can win 40.
Double gold.
Double. She's like, as a matter of fact, I've won the double gold.
No. I don't think she can do 40.
This is wine from Illinois. Dannenberger Family Vineyards. There's wine, the best wine, actually right here in Illinois. I love that. And you were talking about the fact that you also have some hybrids that you bring in from, was it New York?
I have hybrids that I bought the plants in New York, and we grow them here in Illinois.
And so you have it. So it has the rain of Illinois. Do you do any research on that as far as, like, when people consume something that's from the climate, the environment that we all live in, the sort of air that you breathe, whether it's pollinated? I mean, there's something about that too, isn't there?
Oh, it changes the profile completely about where it's grown. It has. It's not even the vines have to be grafted from a nursery that is approved to make, you know, the vines, and then we buy the vines at a, you know, very young age, and we grow them, and it does completely change where it's grown and even the year. I have several wines that you can taste year to year and see the difference in the profile according to how much rain we had, according to the drought, the sun. It's completely different.
And how much do the winters affect your crops?
They're not too bad, really. To be honest, Cabernet Franc is the one that I have to worry about, and it buds super late, so I'm able to hold off and not prune it till the very end, and it does well.
And are you looking at the Farmer's Almanac for what the next one is?
Yes, I'm worried about this one. I have two different reports. They're completely different.
Yes. What are you, because I saw one where it's going to be a little bit warmer but very wet.
And the other one is like, this is going to be the worst winter ever.
Yeah, those are the two I saw. I was trying to ignore the other one. That's why I'll keep drinking the barrel-tapped wine. Again, what is do you have a name for this new one, by the way, the one that just came out of the barrel?
It will probably be the Rouge in a couple years, but right now it's just the Syrah.
Syrah.
It's just Syrah right now. We haven't blended it yet.
All right, there you go. And so this weekend you have your grape shopping event for the Simmons Center for people who need help paying for wigs, lymphedema sleeves, and gas, any sort of the treatments, just the incidentals that come with
being cancer,
fighting breast cancer. And you are, and I talk about this because I heard you talking about it on Ro's show, so I wasn't sure how much you wanted to discuss your own journey through breast cancer, now through the second time.
Yes, I know. I didn't expect to have to deal with it a second time. I thought I was done the first time. It was a lot harder than I expected it to, but I'm so glad I went through it because I learned a lot and saw a completely different type of, I don't know, world, I guess.
Yeah, the people, that, whether it's the health caregivers or other patients. So it's wonderful that you have the opportunity to help people because you know what they need along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if you're stuck in bed with... you're bored out of your mind, number one, and you're also having to go back and forth and back and forth, and your whole life is a blur.
Yeah. Did you binge watch anything?
It did.
What'd you watch? Did you watch anything?
Well, of course, Orange is the New Black.
Hello.
Frankie and Grace or Grace.
I haven't watched that yet.
It's pretty good.
I've heard wonderful things about the show.
And the incredible Kimberly.
Kimmy Schmidt?
Yeah, that was a great one. Mm-hmm. I was looking for happy stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of more of the happy stuff. I mean, like Scandal, I don't know if you've ever seen the series. Like, it's not unhappy. It's just kind of fluffy. You know, there's nothing. Once you're done with it, you're like, oh, that was interesting.
You know, people talk a lot about pairing wines with foods or wines with desserts.
Ooh.
But wines with shows.
Yeah, wines with shows.
Yes!
Tell us.
I don't know. That's a great idea.
You've been binging, so like you say, hey, this show would go great with...
Bubbly.
Something bubbly.
Oh my gosh, for next week, you let me know.
House of Cards.
Some of those shows that you've watched.
That's got to be a big red, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yes!
It does.
Elliot, I love this lightning bolt you have for Wine and Wine Down.
So next week, we want a list.
We need a blog.
We need to figure that out.
Do it.
My friend Christine Bloomer, she had a blog called Chemo and Vino, which was really interesting too. And she had all these, stories that were very, very, she was very honest about the journey that she was on. So I think that there's something about what you're doing. And by the way, let's make sure people know about Our Cups Runneth Over, which is, when I say that, I know, stop.
Hold on, this is the bra?
No, but this is
the bra.
Our Cups Runneth Over.
Each year is a different name. Wine Rack, that would be the
one. That's fantastic.
Take the girls out for a glass. Mm-hmm. Our Cups Runneth Over. So they're always a wine theme bra that we make. They're quite elaborate. So this one, it looks like it has spouts coming out of the front into with the fake like looking wine into like a glass slipper, and it's just very
lovely.
It's a bra
with spouts and a glass slipper.
Yeah,
I've got to see
this too. Are there pictures yet on the website?
Yes, there's pictures. It's on our social media as well.
They have such a great social media page too. Go to dannenbergerfamilyvineyards.com and then DFV on social media, on Instagram and on Twitter. And they'll be doing a fundraising event for St. Jude's throughout the rest of the month as well.
Yes, if you have to be at the winery, unfortunately, to do that. Some of the others you can kind of donate, but this one, St. Jude's, they get their name on a piece of paper. We hang them all over the winery through the end of the month.
Cool. And then you also, so what is punching down the skins?
So I ferment my reds, on the skins with the grape seeds, and the cap starts raising up, and we have to keep punching it down every couple hours. It gets really thick and heavy.
Wow.
It's really beautiful, and it has this wonderful smell. It's like having a child. You have to keep taking care of it every couple hours. It's very tactile.
This is really fascinating.
I'm saying,
you know, hearing about grafting vines and
smashing and punching,
punching and pushing.
I like that part.
And childbirth and, like, you know, and bras that runneth over.
Let me take a break here. We'll find out more with the incredible winemaker Susan Dannenberger. Join us in the studio. Go to DannenbergerFamilyVineyards.com. It is Wine and Wine Down on Pretty Late. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. It's just another typical Friday night, Elliot, isn't it?
Okay, so to give folks an idea of what happens, you know that scene in Gremlins when Gizmo gets wet and then he starts popping out all the other gremlins and it's like the room fills up with gremlins? That's what just happened in the studio.
I think it's instead of water, it's add wine from the Dannenberger Family Vineyards. You know? Well, and here's the thing, Elliot. You've already created a segment for next Friday, for our Friday nights with Wine and Wine Down. We're going to do wine pairings with your binge watching.
Right.
Netflix.
I think so. Right. So we'll start with the ones that you have binge watched most recently over the next few weeks. And then people can send us suggestions. And then
that's a great idea.
For what to watch next. And then you can get an idea of what you should be watching. And you prefer some of the comedies?
I'm just looking for something upbeat while I was going through cancer.
Something upbeat. All right. Elliot, do you have any?
I would go through something upbeat too.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Or inspirational or aspirational. Well, I think that there's, you know, as far as baseball goes, for me it's over, although go Dodgers because I don't want to see the Yankees win. Screw them. We have in studio with us. Was that too harsh? Was that too much? Matt, you flinched a little bit. Matt Baldino's in studio with us, the owner of Commonwealth Tavern and Tavern on Little Fort. Are you a Yankees fan?
I am not.
Okay.
I'm a diehard Cubs fan.
All right. But we're okay today.
We died hard. Yeah. We died really hard.
Well, okay. So can I tell you when I knew it was over? I'll tell you. And by the way, Ken and Dave also in studio. Ken Jacobowski and Dave Lundy. I'll tell you when I knew it was over. I think I've texted you guys during the game. I knew it was over. When was it over for you, Matt, watching the game last night?
Probably, the Grand Slam, obviously.
The Grand Slam, was it for you?
Yeah, but they were never really in the series. No. I mean, they just don't have enough of the key parts you need to win in the playoffs.
Come closer to your microphone, because you have great things to say. It's all right. So make sure we can hear you. All right.
They just weren't a well-built team for this year, and it is what it is.
It was the bullpen.
I think that's fair.
It was a bullpen. If Rizzo and Bryant are hitting like they should, it's a different series.
Yeah. Fair enough, but
you know, but it was the bullpen was what really let them down.
And Bryant and Rizzo didn't hit.
And Bryant and Rizzo. I mean, because Bryant, like Rizzo, like you said last year, he was in a glass case of emotion, and this time the glass case of emotion was the batter's box, and he couldn't get out of it because you know. But if they hit, it's different. Again, you're right. The bullpen was their big issue, but when your top guys let you down, you know, what are you gonna do?
Susan, were you watching the game last night?
Yeah, we watched a tiny bit of it. We watched the good parts. And then I was like, hey, maybe.
There were good parts?
Maybe. When we're down 9 and we get one home run, you're like, maybe.
Maybe.
I like your enthusiasm. Just, you know, I like that. When was it over for you, Ken?
National Anthem.
Dave, when was it over
Clayton
for you?
Clayton Kershaw. I mean, there's no chance.
Well, they had hit really well against Clayton Kershaw twice. So,
not in a game like that.
No. Look, it was the second they put in Rondon.
Okay.
I tweeted out,
it's over.
And you saw this. I tweeted out, who wants to put odds on Rondon giving up a grand slam? And so I did that, and 30 seconds later, he gave up a grand slam because it's Rondon.
Yeah, well,
so to me, when it was,
is he Rondon or Rondon't?
Yeah, Rondon. Yeah. So I literally turned to the person sitting next to me and I said, "Joe, just wave the white flag."
Well, for me, it was slightly after Ken's moment of over, which was his was a national anthem. Mine was the first walk. It was a 27th walk of the series. Yeah. Done. That's it. You just had 27, what should have been outs. No, done. So that's when it was over for me. But Ken's was funny.
But you know what? I have no regrets. It was phenomenal.
No regrets.
Even last night, because last night it's 72 degrees at Wrigley in late October. We're in the NLCS for the third consecutive year. My God, who's going to complain about this?
It's beautiful. Matt, did you have a chance to go to any games? I know you're so busy.
No, I did. I went to a couple games. I did not go last night, partly because of what I've got going on this weekend, but I sort of had a sense. Of what was coming.
You could feel it. Impending doom.
Because, I mean, the bats are just not there right now. And the bullpen, you know, they're like CJ Edwards is that bullpen in like sort of a bubble. Like one day they're just like he's hitting everything. He's going 98 on the corner, and his curve's going, and nobody can hit him. And then he is just in his own head and in his own way. And, I mean, you could take the worst batter. The guy who was the last out in the World Series last year for the Indians, he was, like, one of the lowest-rated batting averages in the American League last year. Like, you could have put him against C.J. Edwards in that last game, and he would have hit a home run.
Guys, could have done that.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the—I mean, last night it was so bad. One of the guys who got, a double had a batting average of 143.
Well, the guy who hit three home runs hit 250 during the season and had barely a 300 on base percentage.
Oh boy,
Susan.
See, and this is why we need more wine. We need some more wine. I got to move on to the next bottle. Matt, you have a great event coming up tomorrow. This is the big event we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
you get people on a bus, take them to the Northwestern.
So your husband would know Mustard's Last Stand.
I know Mustard's Last Stand, that little shack next to Dyke Stadium.
Right. So
I don't know what it's called now. It's something else. But
no, it's Mustard's Last Stand.
And next to Dyke Stadium?
Oh, it's Ryan Field.
Yeah, whatever.
too many jokes there, Patty. Too many jokes. We can get in all sorts of trouble. I won't get to come back.
It's like I'm not making fun of anything. That's actually what its name was.
No, it was.
Yes.
And so I grew up, obviously, right there. I went to... you know, the grade school right basically across the street.
St. Athanasius.
It's actually called Ryan Field.
Thank you, Rob Martier.
Yeah. And so, years ago when I was at a different Iowa bar, you know, we did this tailgate and it sort of took off. And it started at like 100 people. And now, I think this is our fourth one. We'll be well over 300 tomorrow. And it, you know, they'll all be there at 9 a.m. and it'll, you know, go through the game. And it's we literally will turn that back parking lot into, you know, Kinnick Stadium.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's crazy.
What a fun event.
Yeah, so it is very, very fun. And the Iowa people are just such great, great people.
And it's a great price. Okay, so for $40, you get transportation to and from the game. You get refreshments on the bus.
We have refreshments.
Okay. All right.
Bottle water.
Tailgating. You're doing a pig roast?
Yeah, we roast a pig.
You roast
on the bus?
Yes, yeah, sir. No.
Although.
That's impressive.
Not a terrible idea to try
that's
that next
not,
year.
Not a terrible idea. You need a convertible bus.
Yeah, no. So my best friend, we were literally born in the same hospital room, Evanston Hospital, 3 days apart. Have been best friends ever since. He is truly one of the great amateur sort of barbecuers in America, and he roasts these pigs and has been doing it forever, and it's hilarious. I mean, the fight songs go in and we carve the initials and all that stuff into the back of the pig. It's quite the scene.
What's the balance of Iowa fans? What do you got, Hawkeyes and Wildcats? What do you got going on?
There's no Wildcats.
No Wildcats?
No, it's 300 Iowa fans.
Really? That's what I love about it. I didn't know that there was this whole culture, Ken, of bars in Chicago that were dedicated to fans. I mean, I've gone to other places and there are bars that are dedicated to Chicago, but why wouldn't there
be?
It's
the same in the NFL. There are Buffalo Bills bars, Green Bay Packers bars, Lions bars.
Yeah, what's your bars?
Huge. Little Fort is a huge Raiders bar. What was the guy's name?
Paul
got all upset. He's a Raiders fan, but he's upset about Tom Brady 20 years ago.
Sure, sure.
And Commonwealth is probably the largest Dallas Cowboys bar in America outside of Dallas-Fort Worth.
Isn't that amazing? I love that.
Well, that's good for him because both fan bases are very disappointed with the way things have been going, so they must drink a lot.
Do they really? Are they hitting
although
it
last
hard?
Night was an amazing game.
That was a great game. They do. At some point, though, you're at the point of diminishing returns. Like, if they don't turn it around, like last night was big for us because next week the Raiders people will sort of come back in force because...
I gotta get out for one of these games. And you know what goes really well with barbecue, by the way? I'm guessing a really nice red wine from the Dannenberger family vineyards. I want to talk more about the fundraisers that Susan has coming up the rest of this month, including the grape stomping tomorrow for the Simmons Cancer Center, helping women who are is it predominantly for women who are battling breast cancer? Because it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Yes.
And help them with all the incidentals, all the side things that you don't even think about. Somebody needs along the way wigs, the sleeves to help help with the compression after surgery. Just gas to get to and from so family members can drive you there. And you know, no matter where you are in the state of Illinois, because in Chicago, we know about the conveniences, you know, and maybe you are like, oh, I live on the north side and there's better services in at the University of Chicago. When you're in central Illinois, you have to figure out how that's going to work. What is that? Are you going to go from central Illinois to St. Louis, or are you going to go to Springfield or Champaign? So this is an important fundraiser that she's got going on. And we also want to make sure that you know that she's raising money for St. Jude's the rest of the month. Go to the Vineyard. It's in New Berlin at 12341 Irish Road. And more about that. And because I feel like a partnership here. I feel like maybe there should be some wines.
Food and wine.
I'm just saying. Some football and wine. I'm feeling a great friendship here. And also some great food. We're going to find out what Matt has brought in because his mom taught him right. And hi, Mommy Baldino. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Tomorrow, Tavern on Little Fort is hosting their third biannual bus trip and tailgate, which is, again, that's tomorrow for the Iowa versus Northwestern game. Who do we get to hear calling that? I'm pretty sure that game is heard on WGN Radio. Your very own Dave Bennett will be on tomorrow morning. So you can probably hear all of the crazed fans that Matt Baldino brings over there. You get about 300 people heading over to Behind Mustard's Last Stand, where you're barbecuing a pig, having all kinds of refreshments. Are there any, I don't know. I remember the first time I ever saw tailgate. I didn't know what was happening. I was like, where do these people even come from? It's like, there's one day it's a parking lot, the next day it's the biggest party I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, today we were down there setting up, and I mean, you know, it's a little different at Northwestern than it is at like Iowa or Wisconsin, just because those schools have like fields where people can have RVs, whereas at Northwestern, they just have that parking lot.
Yeah.
So it was so odd today that these people were like pulling up these, I don't even know what you'd call them, like conversion vans.
Oh, really?
Like down by the river? I mean, it was these strange
Chris Farley
vans, and like they're walking around.
See anybody kind of overweight with a white shirt and yes. A tie that was
askew? Oh my freak! I'm sorry.
Everything but the tie. And the guy's like, "Do you have a plug for my extension cord?" And I was like, "No."
Matt, I have a question. How long does it take to barbecue a pig or to roast a pig?
And so, how did you get it on the bus? I gotta hear many, about this.
Yeah, roast how many pig walk on himself?
How many pounds is it?
So we'll do somewhere around 150 total pounds of pork tomorrow.
At one time?
At one time. Two different pigs. And so you roast them in a box, basically. So in Jamaica, and I believe in Cuba, they dig pits, and then they put them in there, and then they cover them up with like seaweed and moss, and then they put the charcoals right on top. Some company in Florida just created a box that does the exact same thing. And you can do 100-pound pig in 3.5 hours.
Wow.
It's pretty impressive.
This is amazing.
Does a pig still have its face?
Oh. It does, which is a little creepy for some people. See, it doesn't bother me, but...
Have you had pig cheeks?
No. Oh, we have it at Commonwolf. We have pig
cheeks. Pig cheeks.
Seriously?
Yeah, we have pig face. Yeah, you should see it. It's amazing. It's amazing.
No, I don't want to see that. All right. Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Ask Michael. We had our friends from the Chicago Culinary Kitchen bring in Greg and Christina Garbo brought in pig cheeks and actually had them in the box here.
Really? Wait, Susan? What kind of wine would go with pig cheeks?
Look, here's the thing. Susan is from Central Illinois. This is not.
I would do a light bodied, probably like a Pinot.
See?
There you go. Champagne. Wow. Look at that.
Yeah, because it's got a lot of fat, and so you need that little acidity.
There we go. Wow.
I'm telling you.
Patty just did the boom on
She
me right
knew what
now.
She was saying. And by the way, our very first binge with the Dannenberger Family Vineyards for Wine and Wine Down next week is going to be Orange is the New Black. So we'll find out. If you haven't seen, or if you're going to rewatch Orange is the New Black, you'll know what wine to pair with your...
What wine
you should call it Netflix
it.
And Binge.
Netflix and Binge.
Yeah. Instead of Netflix and Chill. That's
yeah,
good.
Netflix and
Wine.
Yeah,
we'll figure it out.
No, that sounds like...
Do you still have tickets available for the tailgating tomorrow?
We shut down online ticket sales on Wednesday. We were sold out.
Okay.
We are going to do some walk-ups tomorrow, just because there's always people that decide to come, that they're... big group of friends are already in, so we try to leave some spots open, but it's going to be tight.
Little wiggle room.
Little wiggle room.
Keep some wiggle, little wiggle room. Let's take a break here, and I want to find out about all the great food that you brought in studio. Rob Martier, there's amazing food down here. David Jennings, I hope you get a chance to stop down here. There's great food from our friend Matt Baldino, whose mama raised him right. More after this on 720 WGN. I'm not freaking out. You know why I'm not freaking out? Because I'm enjoying some incredible wine from Dannenberger Family Vineyards, hanging out with my good friends, Elliot Serrano, Matt Baldino. Am I saying your name right, Matt? I don't want to get that right. Is it too hard on the Baldino?
It's Baldino.
Baldino. Correct me. Don't be afraid. Oh, it's your name, man.
My mom calls me Mark, and my name's Matt. So you're closer on the last name than she is on my first. And we're good to go.
That's fantastic. How many kids are in your family, Matthew?
There's seven of us.
Yeah, I could see why she'd call you Mark.
Yeah, well, that's my younger brother.
Is it really?
Yeah.
She just forgot about you.
Well, he's the baby, so he's what it is.
Do you get that? Which one are you in line? In
second to last, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, literally, second to last is last.
Well, see, here's the thing. I'm first. My mom still goes through the names of everybody else before she gets to me.
Wow. Oh. Did she do the dog before she got to you?
Yes.
So this is good. So my brother Danny's the oldest male. And when I got out of college, instead of giving me like a nice gift for my graduation, he bought me a book. And I can't remember the name of it, but basically, it's like 90% of the presidents and CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are firstborn males. Oh, and it's like the book title is named after this family, a species of birds where, like, after the first one's born, the mom kills all the other birds. That's what the whole book is about. And he's like,
you got that for your graduation?
Oh. From college. So he like handed me and was like, it's going to be an uphill battle, buddy.
Oh, wow. And now he's gone on. He has a tavern and food empire.
You
have an empire. If you have more than one, it's an empire.
We have a pretzel empire.
Oh, my God. Your pretzels. Why are your pretzels so good? Because they're like buttery.
We had a pastry chef. No, yes. We had a pastry chef when we first opened, and then we just took the recipe and handed it to a company and said, can you replicate it?
Make this more.
Yeah.
So good. Commonwealth Tavern and Tavern on Little Fort. By the way, Tavern on Little Fort is at 4128 North Lincoln Avenue. That's right in North Center. And their affiliations, the games that they have for game day are the Hawkeyes and the Raiders. And then the where's the other joint? The other joint is at 2000 West Roscoe. Roscoe Street in Roscoe Village, and that's CommonwealthChicago.com. You can go and watch all the Notre Dame and Dallas Cowboy games there. Are you a Notre Dame guy, Ken? What are your? It depends on how they're playing this year.
I went to the University of Michigan, so.
So no, that's a big no.
Big no. It's a great day whenever Notre Dame loses in anything.
All right, then fine.
Right back at you, buddy.
All right.
There you go. I'm not a huge fan of that community college in Ann Arbor. Oh!
It's a pretty good community college, though, you have to admit.
Well,
it's all right. They're a little stuffy.
It does
anyway,
well.
What's your?
I went to a Division III school.
Oh.
I went to Wash U.
All right.
Oh, that's a good school.
Yeah, well they wouldn't really let me in today, that's for sure. So, but yeah, back in the day, they let me in. It's amazing. So now it's become like one of the top universities.
That's really hard.
And people look at you and they go like, wow, you went to Wash U? You must be smart. I'm like, no, I went back then, not now.
It's hard to get into.
Yeah, it is. It's very hard to get into.
After you came in, they were like, let's tighten up the...
Exactly.
Let's fix the standards.
Oh, yeah, I was a serious rabble-rouser in college.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I know, shocking, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't even know what the rabble rousing looked like. So you have this event tomorrow. You guys are carting 300 people from the bar from Little Fort all the way over to Mustard's Last Stand. Because behind Mustard's Last Stand, next to Ryan Field, you guys are tailgating. You're roasting a pig in a box, which, I mean, who doesn't want to do that? I want to do that. I want to roast a pig. I want to come see this.
Well, then you should come with me. We're doing it in about 4 hours.
You should put a body cam on the pig. I'd like to see what how that looks. They're putting body cams on everybody nowadays. Why not on a pig that's being roasted?
I don't know about that.
The pig is in a box, though. I mean, what are you going to see?
You can
light
it up.
Really uncomfortable.
You know? You can light it up. Point right at the pig's face. You can just watch it.
I'd feel like Ryan Reynolds in that movie where he got buried in the coffin. The whole movie is him in the coffin. It'd be like the pig in a box.
Yeah.
I feel bad for the pig because it still has his face. The poor guy still has his face.
What other events do you have coming up this this season? I mean, I obviously have all the games. You know, do you have anything big coming up?
Halloween's obviously big in both those neighborhoods with all the kids.
Yeah, all right.
So those are big events.
And the food that you brought, I'm really enjoying the pasta and the pretzel so far. I'm going to move on to the other elements, too. What have you brought in for us?
So we brought in the burger, which is our own mix that we developed ourselves.
I believe you were telling us last time, and I still have dreams about it. Tell us a little bit about what goes into that mix.
So it's a 70% brisket,
mm-hmm.
and then a little bit of pork and a little bit of beef.
Yes.
It's not the healthiest burger you're ever going to have in your whole life.
Matt's like, don't anyone eat it all by the way. Go ahead and eat it all by yourself.
Well, I told you guys last time.
Once a month.
We have one neighborhood guy that comes in there, and he'll order a double, which we don't even serve. And I just kind of look at him, and he'll eat it in like 3 minutes.
How much does he weigh?
He's not that big a guy.
He works out. He's a CrossFitter.
And it is. I'm telling you, listen, not even CrossFit can save you from that thing. I mean, that is like a lot of unhealthy. And I just kind of always look at him like, listen, man, don't come back here if you have a heart attack. Like, I can't save you.
It's not my fault.
Yeah. And then we bought the pastas and we bought our chicken sandwich, which is really good. The best thing over there, outside of the pretzel, which everybody loves,
yes,
is for sure the dessert, the three chocolate flourless cake.
Oh, wait, I missed that.
Yeah, oh, no,
dessert's
no, no.
Over
it's,
there.
It's
no, you
sitting
didn't.
Right next to Elliot.
Oh, I missed it because Elliot's eating it all.
No, I put some stuff over it so nobody would see it.
Elliot doesn't even have his headphones on anymore.
How else can you dive in? You can't be restricted by cords.
He was. Well,
it's all good stuff.
Thanks for narking me out, Dave.
My pleasure, Elliot. Save me some cake.
We are also, if you can hear in the background, we're also setting up for, we now have moved music to Friday nights. It's wind Woo-hoo! Down. If we're going to freak out, we better break it up with a little bit of music. So our guest, Daylight Sinners, are in studio with us. They'll be playing in Lafayette tomorrow night. They're at the Elbow Room next Thursday night, but they're going to be live in studio in just a little bit more with our friends when we come back on 720 WGN. Woo! It is Music Friday. That's right. Those of you who listen to our show every night, we have flipped things around because you know what? If we're going to talk politics, we need to break it up a little bit. Elliot just said, please, please. What did you say, Elliot, to the band? Daylight Sinners?
Please, please, more songs because otherwise it's politics and then I'm going to die.
Is this better than Budget Crisis Corner?
Oh, no, way better than Budget Crisis Corner. Unless you had gotten some of those state reps to like play the bass and electric guitar.
Well, I will bring Representative Martwick back in studio and do just that very thing, by the way. Okay. Yeah, we could do that. By the way, that's Matt Baldino, who is the proprietor, owner, creator of, can I say creator? Commonwealth Little Fort and Little Fort over by there. Some great bars. We'll talk more football, I swear, later, Matt.
He's also explaining to Dave how the cake is a cake and not a pie.
Right.
Which, you know, Dave refused to eat because he thought it was a pie.
By the way, on hold, we have Eric Elk.
Now he's inhaling.
Hold on, your mic. I should turn some more mics
up. Got a super vacuum cleaner. Sucking it up.
Good pie.
Let's get to the music before we switch back. Eric Elk's on hold, and he's not getting any of the food because he's in Hawaii because he's celebrating because there's no soda tax. It's time now for Music Friday. Daylight Sinners are going to be at the Knickerbocker Saloon in Lafayette, Indiana tomorrow. They're on their way tonight, actually, so they're ready to go. They'll also be at the Elbow Room on Thursday night, but right now they're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Here they are with Lonely Hearts.
I've been waiting, though you know I ain't got much time. Now I'm dreaming of paradise, just you and I. Take my hand, little heartbreaker, we live out your life. Take my hand, we're in paradise. Forgot the name, you mean well. Now you got to pay. Lonely hearts are calling. You forgot the name, you mean well. I've got this feeling in my heart just skips a beat. And now you're bleeding, like you just can't take defeat. Take my hand, little heartbreaker, we live out your life. Take my hand, we're in paradise. calling. You forgot that I'm, you mean well. Lonely hearts are calling. Lonely hearts are calling. Lonely hearts are calling.
Outstanding.
Wow. That's
my head blew off. I mean, mind I need to find my the top of my head. It's gone. Where is it?
Our friend Mike
Dave ate it.
Our friend Mike listening in Los Angeles says you guys are old school, digging it. Also, he's very jealous of your hair. So as am I, as a matter of fact. It's luxuriously curly, but that's a story for another day.
They've got, okay, first, they've got like the Leif Garrett look, you know that? And then, oh my God, you guys must have so many girls chasing you, chasing after y'all. I swear. I saw you guys get off that you're out of your van with all your stuff, and they're going, oh man, these guys.
They have fun on the road.
The gals must love y'all.
By the way, our friend Steven, who's says that the band sounds much better on the radio than they do live. Yeah, that's because I cannot do the bass feed into my phone. That's directly into the board, so that's what you're hearing live on the air. So anyone who tunes in and watches my Facebook Live video, well, then you should, if you can't hear it, you should go over to WGNRadio.com, tune in there, and you'll hear the whole thing. This is just the visual. What you do is you turn the volume down on your phone, watch them, you get the whole picture. Okay, don't make me walk you through this. Bye, everybody. We have Eric Elk on the line with us. By the way, the Daylight Sinners will be at the Knickerbocker Saloon in Lafayette, Indiana, and at the Elbow Room next Thursday night. Follow them on Twitter at Daylight Sinners. Go to their website, daylightsinners.com. Joining us on the line right now, Erica, how's that sound on the phone? Because you do get all the sounds, don't you?
Oh, man, it sounded awesome. Those guys rock.
Yeah, they're amazing. Such a great band, and thrilled to have them in studio. By the way, Eric is joining us on the line because he is currently in Hawaii enjoying himself. Which island are you on, sir?
I left Maui today, came over to Honolulu, going to go go tour over at USS Arizona and Missouri tomorrow.
Oh, excellent. That's a good trip. That is a very good trip.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm jealous of you. I mean, by the way, though, not for nothing, but the weather in Chicago.
It was gorgeous.
It's 80 degrees today.
Yeah, it was
again.
Amazing.
Again.
But by the way, Erica, what's that soda tax in Hawaii?
Oh, good question. Because everything's more expensive in Hawaii.
It is.
Because of where you are and how much it costs to get things there. I mean, people who live in Hawaii pay a higher rate of everything in order to live there.
And because it's under direct threat of nuclear attack from North Korea.
Yeah, things were a little dicey there in 1941. So I could see where they might feel a little bit vulnerable. Yeah. They were kind of like
the pineapple is phenomenal and very inexpensive.
Oh, yeah. Are they just falling off? The pineapples are just falling off the trees? That's good to know.
I'll bet it's amazing, too, like super fresh. Because you don't get fresh pineapple in Chicago.
No.
No, you don't. The sunsets and the sunrises, I've never seen anything like it in my life. It was amazing. Highly recommend.
Very jealous.
You know, get up in the mountain, and you know, we went from 80 degrees to 40 degrees in a matter of hour and a half. It was so cold. You had the clouds just moving against you, and all of a sudden, you saw the sun start to come up. It was phenomenal.
Oh my God, that sounds wonderful. So are you, since you're calling us, I feel almost badly, you know, sort of wrapping you into Freak Out Friday while you're enjoying yourself on the Hawaiian Islands. You know, as somebody who is, you know, a conservative watching this, are you watching CNN? Are you watching Fox News? Where are you getting your news from? Are you reading online what's happening?
Yeah, I mean, I've been reading a lot of this. You know, we're sending around a few articles today amongst Ken, Dave, and myself, and you. But I, you know, to go back to the item you were just talking about in terms of this tax cut, I mean, I think it's crazy. You know, they're going to have to rob Peter to pay Paul, and you know, it's every time they want to do it. You know, I'm all for tax cuts, but this is a crazy expense we'll have to pay. You know, this is quite a hit to everyone across the board. If you're not allowed to have a tax deferred you know, to contribute to your 401k, it's crazy.
It sounds insane to me. Yeah,
because they want you all on Social Security, which they insist is going to be bankrupt, and they want to privatize. I mean, none of it makes any sense.
Now, everything that they have done so far, whether it be taxes, healthcare, it's all anti-middle class. It's anti the folks who elected Trump. It's the strangest thing I've ever seen.
Well, I would say this. So, I mean, people are talking about what the successes are. From your point of view, Eric, what have been some of the successes? I mean, do you consider deregulating the Environmental Protection Agency, you know, when it comes to clean air, clean water, and coal to be a success? Or do you think that some of the travel bans are a success? I mean, he promised them. Are we measuring it by the things that he promised? Or where do you see this?
I don't know how to really rate the successes. You know, I think getting, one of the things that some folks could point to is getting Supreme Court Justice in, Gorsuch. Other than that, I don't even know. You know, I mean, this, as Dennis Green would say, he is who we thought he was.
Interesting, yeah. When someone tells you who they are, believe them.
The press conference when the Cardinals, Dennis Green was, I think, coaching the Cardinals, played the Bears, and he just went on a rant afterwards. But I don't know how we, you know, this cannot go on. I don't see how this goes on for a full term.
People seem pretty happy. I mean, even when Republicans speak out, it seems to be, in general, from Washington, D.C., the Republicans that are on their way out, whether they're retiring or know that they won't be able to run again, those are the ones that are the most vocal. Once in a while, I mean, do you feel like Paul Ryan's sort of joking last night, you know, that he has to decide which tweets he has to pretend he didn't see for the day and things like that? I mean, he's letting a little bit of it out. I mean, I use humor as passive aggressive release as well. So I mean,
the fact that the president's tweets, you know, and by ignoring them or rejecting them, I think, you know, every one of the Republican elected officials have a moral dilemma that they are going to be facing when they look themselves in the mirror. I mean, he's attacking the basic foundation of our republic. And to overlook that is going to come at great cost.
I agree.
And I think that the, you know, when we talk about even the First Amendment and things like that, you know, the sacrifices required to maintain our liberty, you know, are amazing. And, you know, these things, you know, I think I texted this the other night, it's not an entitlement, but an inheritance. And, you know, we are just trustees, you know, to pass this along, take care of it and pass it on.
That's just because you're a commie liberal.
Let's take a quick break here. We're going to do more music. I don't know when the guys need to go, but I was thinking maybe we do more music after the 1 a.m. news so we can carry on this conversation, because I do need to address a press conference that happened today as far as, again, what reporters should and shouldn't ask, what they can and can't say. It's a little bit mind-boggling. I'm so glad that we have great food from Little Tavern, because they have a great event coming up tomorrow. The tickets are sold out, but they have wonderful events every single week. You can go watch if you want to watch Notre Dame. Where's Notre Dame and the Cowboys play? Are at which bar? They're together.
Commonwealth.
And the Raiders and Iowa are at
Little Fort.
I'll get it right one of these days.
And the Bears are everywhere else.
Okay, then. Yeah.
Or nowhere else.
I'm still trying to figure out why Ken's wearing an Astros shirt. We'll find out later. More after this on 720 WGN. Last night we were, you're listening pretty late, by the way. I just was going to, you know, sometimes I start a conversation in my head and I just expect everyone else to be there already. And when you're on radio, you kind of got to catch people up a little bit, Elliot.
Especially when we have this whole conversation happening during the break.
Yes.
So.
You didn't even, but you have no idea what I was going to say.
No, because you
I launched into it, yeah.
That's right.
What happened there?
Well, we should tell them what we were discussing during the break, which is what constitutes pie and what constitutes cake. Can you have a pie with cream on top? Excuse me, can you have a cake that has cream on top?
I don't understand. I think that it was cut like a piece of pie and Dave was never going to get over it.
Oh, he got over it. He got over it.
It had it been a square. Yeah. I'm just saying that for nothing.
Yeah.
Had it been a square, and I'm just saying if it wasn't cut like a slice of pie.
Okay, you got something there. You got something going there. But it's because it was the combination of the shape.
Yes.
And the cream on top.
Okay, fair enough.
So I'm gonna say it's half pie, half cake. We're gonna call it a pake.
Well, here's my problem. I don't think that cheesecake is cake. That's pie. I'm sorry. It is. It's not cake.
No, cheesecake
is
cake. Blech.
It's
okay. See, I actually agree with you on
that
one.
Yeah, it's pie.
Yeah, because lemon
meringue and cheesecake are very similar.
It comes with the crust. It's a filling in a crust, like a pie.
Thank you very much, Eric Elk, chiming in from Hawaii.
It has a crust.
Hey, all I know is it's awesome.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. If they put cream on top of it, Dave, would it be a pie then?
No, it'd still be cheesecake.
Well, see?
Okay.
It'd be cheesecake I don't like as much.
That is Eric Elk online calling us from Hawaii. He is the president and CEO of Fulcrum, Illinois. We have Kenji Gubowski of Sirius Enterprises. He is the president and CEO. We have the president of Aileron Communications, Dave Lundy, also a regular on Justin Kaufman's show on Monday nights. Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer. Go to geektome.net for more information about all the great things that he writes. What I was going to say is that last night I had the pleasure of having Renato Mariotti on the show, who is an attorney. He's a former prosecutor and a regular contributor to CNN and MSNBC. And we were talking about the First Amendment and what this administration is doing as far as being divisive, putting our focus on things where we shouldn't be. And my freak out today after the Huckabee Sanders press conference, where she said that you should not,
it's inappropriate.
It is inappropriate to challenge a four-star general who was speaking as the chief of staff, took over a press conference, was giving basically the White House's point of view, speaking for the White House. And that's a problem when you're telling reporters what they can and can't ask.
In a sense, when they tell reporters what they can or can't ask, they're telling the American people what they can or can't ask.
Right.
And, I mean, it was an absurd statement.
It was an absolutely absurd statement. I thought that while General John Kelly's press conference yesterday, I understand where he was coming from. I mean, the president turned it on his chief of staff by saying, you know, well, you should ask John Kelly how he feels about these calls. And the bigger issue to me, and it's all tragic. There is nothing about this that we should all, anyone should be comfortable with. The fact that we are in Niger, we don't understand why yet. There was a travel ban that included now Chad. And part of the reason was because they didn't have the proper passport paper and other information that they were not giving over. But they're also instrumental in helping fight the spread of extremism in Africa. And that's why we were in Niger, because they withdrew troops after the travel ban. That's something that nobody is really talking about, except for some journalists who are doing the work on
supposedly Chad told the Department of Homeland Security, who asked all countries to submit samples of their passports for them to review to see how secure they were.
Mm-hmm.
They told DHS, can we send you one of our old ones? Because we haven't made any new passports in a few months because we don't have the special paper we use for it. DHS said no. So what happens? The travel ban comes out. Chad's name is on it. Chad decided, all right, fine. We're leaving.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
They're leaving.
Wow.
2 weeks.
I think it was
a couple of weeks. We're done. So they pulled out of Niger. And lo and behold, what happens after that is four of our service people are gunned down
in an ambush. So they, so the special ops that were sent out to help train the you know people in towns throughout this area in order to fight off the extremists that are coming towards them. Right? They want to help them, not only support them, make sure that they are safe, but also make sure that there is a force there to prevent the spread of it. And there was a meeting that went long. There were distractions. And now there's a lot of information that they might have been delayed in this meeting, went longer than it should have. They were in vehicles that are not armored. They were in trucks, lightweight trucks, and they were ambushed by, there was about 12, David Jennings? Have you seen that was about 12 men?
I heard there were 12 and six, there were two wounded and four killed.
And among other things, I think the norm is there was supposed to be some sort of air cover over troops in that kind of setting. There was only one drone available, and it was over a different part of Niger at the time. They did, when they called in to say they were under attack, French jets had to make the response, and it took them about half an hour to get to where our people were. They did some low-level passes. The insurgents decided it was better for them to make themselves scarce at that point, but the damage had already been done.
So my question is, to the investigation of what happened here, because last time I checked, the Republicans had 50 hearings, and they spent 2 years talking about Benghazi because four brave Americans died.
Mm-hmm.
Four brave Americans died in Niger.
Yes.
And this administration didn't say, and remember, this whole controversy over how you call or you write the letters to Goldstar, it started because a reporter, one of those nasty press people, asked the president the question of, sir, how come you haven't said anything about Niger and the four Americans killed for 12 days?
Yes. And in fact, the soldier who, when you mentioned that phone call, her husband was missing for 48 hours.
Right.
He had been left behind because there was a scramble. They were unable to do a head count.
He wasn't where the other soldiers, the dead and the wounded, were. They don't know how he got as far away from them as he did, but that apparently is also one of the many questions that some folks in Congress, like Senator McCain, would like answers to.
Yes, and that was Sergeant LaDavid T. Johnson. More for this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. It's Friday night. It is our Friday night freakout. It's also Music Friday. Joining us in the studio are the Daylight Sinners. They're heading to Lafayette, Indiana, where they'll be playing Knickerbocker Saloon next Thursday night. They're at the Elbow Room right here in Chicago, but they are right here playing live music. And here they are with Criminal.
Police cars should come and they say, I read it in the news with a sigh. There are people who'd love to kill a cop for every boy who didn't have to die. But Gandhi, the greatest of leaders, he always said all my favorite lines. And a tooth for a tooth and an eye for an eye would leave the whole damn world blind. One little known fact is that every cop gets what he deserves. Call it karma, call it fate if you will, it's the makings of deserve. But I won't hear you when you're screaming my name for waiter in this earth. I'll say you're right where you belong. Let me sing you a song for what it's worth. Let me sing you a song. I say you're right where you belong. Let me sing you a song. Let me sing you a song. say you're right where you belong. Let me sing you a song, let me sing you a song. I say you're right where you belong. Let me sing you a song, let me sing you a song. I say you're right where you belong.
Wow. That's Friday night. Wow. I'm pretty late.
Wow. The whammy bar at the end. Whoa. That was awesome.
No,
awesome.
Scott and, Scott and Liam, we're missing Dustin. And, you know, poor Dustin. Again, we apologize to Dustin. But you guys are amazing. We thank you so much for hanging out with us on this Friday night. Man. Of course. My pleasure. I hope you had a great time because we had a great time hosting you. Please be safe. And you're heading to Indiana. Again, they're at the Knickerbocker Saloon in Lafayette, Indiana. That's Saturday night. They're listening in Indiana. Here's the thing. If they didn't have their radio on, they heard you anyway in Lafayette, Indiana. So everyone get to the Knickerbocker Saloon Saturday night and then get to the Elbow Room on Thursday night, October 26th. Be safe, you guys. Thank you so much. That was their song, Criminal. Follow them on Instagram and on Twitter at Daylight Sinners. Go to their website, daylightsinners.com. And I just love that they come up here from Nashville. And they're like, we'll go do Patty's show.
No, these guys, this is probably one of the best bands I've heard. Best band.
Oh.
Awesome.
And we've had bands out for 3 years, just so you know. My pleasure. Thank you so much, you guys. We are we're not so much freaking out. So are we? Are you still freaking out after your pie experience?
You know, Dave? I'm mellow now. I'm mellow.
You're mellow, isn't it?
I had pie cake. It was good. I had music. I mean, too bad these guys don't know how to play guitar.
Isn't that crazy?
It's pie, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. I sampled it. It's definitely pie.
Liam, yeah. Scott, take a bite. Let me know if you think it's cake or pie.
They have.
Did you have a bite? What'd you think? Oh, man.
Okay, I can go home now. I'm not freaking out anymore.
But it tasted fantastic.
Eric, you and I still contend that if it has a crust, it's not cake, right?
Absolutely. This is crazy. And by the way, those guys, I forgot I was listening. You know, this is not my dad's AM radio station.
Yeah, tell your dad. By the way, your dad is why you are a regular on the show. He was a fan of the show before you were, wasn't he?
I was hoping that I could play, you know.
What's in the box?
Yeah, someday.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey,
you know what's in the box, Eric? You know what's in the box?
Cake.
Yeah, cake.
Pie.
Oh, it's pie. Come on, it's pie.
All right, let's see. What do we got when we come back? 312-981-7200. What do you want your political panel, your Freak Out Friday guests to freak out about? 312-981-7200. What's your pleasure? More after this on 720 WGN or your pain. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in our Allstate Showcase studio. I recommended that if you want us to talk about things, maybe, you know, because a lot of times on Friday nights, people, you know, people get very upset about our topics. And, you know, we're not adverse to opening it up to you and asking you what you would like us to discuss, what our thoughts are on certain topics. Eric Elk joins us on the line from Hawaii. He is the president and CEO of Fulcrum, Illinois. Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer. Go to geektome.net for all the great things that he writes there. And all the wonderful photos of his cat Sinbad the Survivor available on us on Instagram and his own Facebook page as well. He's up to what, like... way more followers than you and I will ever
way
have.
Way more yeah. followers, yeah. People love, the internet loves cats.
Yeah, they really do. Ken Jacobowski joins us in studio, the president and CEO of Sirius Enterprises. And do you have any cats, by the way?
No.
No. Dave Lundy, the president of Aileron Communications, also the host of Lundy Lunch. And thank you so much for introducing me to Renato Mariotti. And he's also a regular on Justin Kaufman's show on Monday nights. Do you have a cat?
No cats. We're
no
allergic.
No dogs? Are you dogs? People? Dogs?
My mom's allergic.
Eric, are you a dog or cat person?
He's allergic. I'm allergic to Eric.
We have a dog.
You have a dog? Did I know you had a dog? What kind of dog do you have?
Do I have to say on the air?
No.
It's an adorable
dog. What, you got a chihuahua?
Dog.
What do you got?
Yeah, I've met Eric's dog.
It's a King Charles Cavalier.
Yeah. Oh, those are great dogs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lundy
I'm
and I
sorry,
are...
Patty and I are going like, what?
Oh, no, King Charles Cavaliers are one of the cutest breeds of dogs you're going to find.
It's a big dog, little dog, black dog, white dog?
Medium size.
What, 18 pounds, Eric?
Yeah, 18, 20 pounds, about like, that. Yeah.
You think of a Cocker Spaniel, but they're a little taller, got the nice curly hair.
As long as it's not a rat on a leash. Saw one of those the other
day. Wow. My apologies to all of our friends listening right now.
Who have chihuahuas.
Who have chihuahuas or Yorkies.
Especially to all the chihuahuas who are listening.
By the way, I'm wondering if Lex and Emma have gone to bed yet. I don't know if they're still up waiting to hear more music. We want to thank Daylight Sinners for joining us in studio. They're packing up because they got to head to Indiana. I fed them. We heard their great music. We want to thank Scott and Liam for joining us in the studio. Can't wait to have you guys back. Wonderful music. And it really does. Doesn't it work to have a little?
Oh, yeah. It's nice. It kind of breaks it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Takes the edge off.
Yeah, I agree.
I love it.
It keeps Elliot from committing all sorts of unspeakable acts.
There was that time you guys saw me pouring kerosene on myself.
Yes, it was going. It was coming.
You had to stop me from lighting it, you know.
I leapt
all the way across. I like jumped out of my chair and grabbed that lighter out of your hand to prevent you from lighting yourself up.
But if it was a slice of pie,
we need more pie. We need more pie. I think that Ken said something important off the air, and this is, I know that there are a lot of people who feel as though, whether it's my show or whatever media outlet you're following, that doesn't necessarily cater to what you want to hear or you want to see. But it is important when something happens, it's not normal, it's not okay. And there are things that are happening when you have a president tweeting policy or really the perspective of what the White House wants, whether it's attacking the First Amendment or going after families who are grieving, making that something that's important rather than, you know, when General John Kelly said that the moment that a family learns that they've lost they've lost someone in service to the military, that's sacred. That's an important moment. That and we shouldn't have known about any of it, except it took too long for the White House to even give us any information about the soldiers that were killed in action. And then the question was, how are the families informed? Have you spoken to them? And that became a drama that I don't even know why. But General John Kelly's speech yesterday, why did he mention that religion and women were sacred when he was growing up? I didn't understand that at all, because you do know that we're human beings.
I don't know why women aren't sacred.
Well,
they're like anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, I listened to the Kelly speech, and it started off. I mean, it was very compelling. Obviously, as he's talking about the
Absolutely.
Fall and with what happened with his son, and just in general, you know, you have to have real reverence for what soldiers go through in the field and when they give the ultimate sacrifice. But then he went off in these weird directions, and he talked about, as you said, he talked about when, you know, I remember when women were sacred. And like, dude, have you met your boss? Women were never sacred to your boss. Women,
no.
Women were objects to be, you know,
conquered
and grabbed. And it was
and moved
it was,
on like a bitch.
Yeah, I mean it was like it was weird listening to a lot of what he said, because you're going, is this intentional? Are you intentionally taking shots at Trump? Are you intentionally taking shots at
women?
At women? I mean,
at the
just,
stories. Right? Was it a reflection of the stories out of Hollywood? Yes, Eric.
No, I was just going to say a couple things real quick. I think we need to also remember. Don't forget, General Kelly lost his son. In battle. And I think that, I don't know if anybody read, I have recommended reading for folks for the weekend. If you haven't read the letter Matt Dowd sent to General Kelly, I recommend you read it. He has a question that he asks General Kelly and says, do you know who you work for? Matt Dowd, you know, worked in the Bush administration or on the campaign. And, you know, Matt Dowd is a contributor to ABC News and Good Morning America. And I recommend taking a look at the letter he sent to General Kelly. It's definitely worth the read.
I was actually reading that while we were in the green room waiting to get in here.
I will take a look
the
at
other,
it.
The other two things I'd recommend folks take a look at is Brett Stevens' piece in the New York Times. It's called America's Best University President. He talks about Robert Zimmer from University of Chicago, and he talks about, you know, the commitment to academic freedom doesn't mean we support trigger warnings. We do not cancel invited speakers because their topics might prove controversial. Kind of gets into the whole First Amendment discussion, and I thought it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, there was Milo Yiannopoulos
formerly of Breitbart, correct?
Was supposed to speak, yes, was supposed to speak in Portage Park, actually at the Patio Theater, and they've canceled it because of all the people that were threatening to protest and the complaints and the worries. I think there was something interesting about Richard Spencer speaking in Florida. Was it yesterday? There's an interesting video that there were a lot of protesters there, obviously, so there were Nazis out there. There were people who were protesting against the Nazis. There were shots fired into a crowd, and they said Heil Hitler and, you know, wanted to kill people. But there was a black man who was actually about to leave and saw a Nazi yelling and causing a lot of problems and went up to him. And it's funny because when you watch it, when you read it, it's one thing. But when you watch it, it's a little bit startling because he walks up to him. He goes, why don't you like me, dog? And he wraps his arm around the Nazis, one Nazi. And then he pulls away and the guy like looks away. The Nazi is looking away, not making eye contact, not responding. And he stands and the black guy is going face to face with him. He goes, why don't you like me, dog? And he wraps his arms around him again. And he pulls away, and the Nazi doesn't respond to him. And then he goes in and he hugs him a third time. And this time he really pulls him in close. And he goes, why do you hate me, dog? And the Nazi said, I don't know. And that's the thing.
Well,
I don't know.
Isn't that like so many people who have called this show to complain about the fact that we are not giving President Trump his due? And then when you say to him, okay, well, tell us what you like. What has he done? And there's silence. And they go, we've heard at least twice.
Well, and
we'll get back to you.
Yeah, I'll get back to you. Or let me check. And I will say this. I went to the protest at UIC at the pavilion. And I just went there to cover it and see what was going on. And I was walking away from the doors. And I guess I look white. So this guy was yelling at me. A Latino was yelling at me, Elliot. And he was like, shame. He goes, shame on you. Shame on you. And I went over to go, why are you yelling at me? And he goes, I don't know. So none of us knows. More after this on 720 WGN.
Live from Chicago, Illinois, here is another episode of What's That From?
That's right. When you know the name of the movie that the incredibly talented theatrical performers in studio are reading a scene from, you can call us at 312-981-7200 and tell us, and we will give you a gift card from Apt Electronics. Now, Eric Elk, we have to apologize. We are unable to get a script to you, so you will have to be just one of our audience members. Is that all right, Eric? Eric is no longer, he's already toned out. He's just like, you know.
Nope.
he's like, I didn't get pie. I'm not reading part of the scene.
No, well, the problem was is that Eric's in Hawaii and he got one of those tiki idols that will jinx you.
Taboo.
Look out.
Oh, he's in an episode of the Brady Bunch?
Yes.
All right, then. Excellent.
Exactly. Yes, but is he Greg or Peter?
He's Bobby.
It's 8:38. Where Eric is.
Is it really? Oh, he's fine.
So he's just getting ready to go out for the evening.
The tiki torches have just been lit. Not the ones that were in Charlottesville. Different ones. Anyway, so let's... Sorry,
wow,
Eric.
They went there.
Sorry, Eric. It just happened as I was saying those words out loud in my face. So let's go ahead and get this started. Again, 312-981-7200. When you hear these talented thespians get through this scene, tell us what movie that's from. All right. Here we go. Homer? We're on here.
I know. Want to decline?
Do you want to?
Hell no. If you win, all you do is sit up there for the school song and one dance. And they put your picture in the yearbook so that everyone can see we look like idiots. Besides, it's the last year.
Belinda looks up at the stage at the massive thrones all in white.
They're beautiful.
You're beautiful.
Belinda meets his eyes and blushes. It's all overwhelming her, and she has to look away from the tiny party favor boat at the table in front of her, at the tiny pencil next to it.
Who do we vote for? They're more your crowd than mine.
Whatever you like.
In fact, I don't really have a crowd.
Well, let's vote for ourselves. To the devil with false modesty.
She laughs aloud. The sound of her own laughter is so foreign to her that she claps a hand over her mouth at her own daring. And she takes the pencil and quickly circles their names so quickly that the pencil breaks. Bringing a small drop of blood to her finger, she gasps.
Did it hurt yourself?
No, but I broke it and it was a souvenir.
There's still your boat. Toot toot.
Interior school night gym. Stage area. The ballots are being counted. Morton and Fish help Ernest separate them into piles. We ought to notice either DeLois or Trenant hanging around the voting tables. Perhaps Norma Watson as well. Belinda is now holding Homer's hand tightly. Too tightly.
Hey, hey.
Sorry.
You don't know your own strength.
He sees she's taking himself seriously. Sensitive to her reaction, he smiles at her.
Hey, it's okay.
In the background, Josie and the Moon Glows provide a flourish of drums. At the stage, Ernest walks up to the microphone and almost drops the ballot in the process.
We've sort of hit a snag. Mr. Morton says this is the first time in the history of the spring prom that...
How far does it go back, 1800?
Yeah. We've got a tie.
Polka dot or striped.
63 votes for Frank Grier and Cora Wilson, and 63 votes for Homer Ross and Belinda White.
Silence. Then the applause begins to start to swell as we, in an island of applause around her, her head lowered.
Attention! If I could have your attention, please! We're going to have a runoff ballot. When you get yours, please write the couple you favor on it.
They're not applauding for us. It can't be for us.
Maybe it's for you.
I thought you'd said they'd win.
They will. Won't even be close.
If you screwed up...
Don't worry. I called in a few favors.
Cut to interior gym, Belinda and Homer's table. As new ballots arrive, courtesy of Norma, who leans over them and whispers breathily.
Good luck.
As Homer picks up the pencil, Belinda puts his hand on hers.
Don't.
What?
Don't vote for us.
In for a penny, in for a pound. That's what my grandmother used to say.
Don't, please.
Homer hesitates for a second, seeing her face so full of premonition. Then he overcomes it and scrawls their names on the slip of paper, folding it.
For you. Tonight, we go first class.
Jim Dore, point of view. At the voting table, she spies Sue coming in, finding it irresistible, blurts out the news. Whispering to Morton, who's just finishing the ballot counting, he looks in the direction that Norma's pointing in, seeing Sue going backstage, heading into the wings to watch.
Homer and Belinda win by one vote!
Slow motion. Silence. Everything becomes half-beat, exaggerated, slowed. As the applause begins, some of it, most of it, genuine, but there's some mocking, too. The band launches into a rock version of Pomp and Circumstances. Ushers appear at Homer and Belinda's table. George is pounding Homer's back. An aluminum foil scepter is thrust into Homer's hand. A robe with a fur collar is thrust over Belinda's shoulders. Cut to Sue in the stage wings, peering out farther to get a good look. Unseen at first by her, there's a cord at the edge of the frame. The applause is swelling.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the king and queen of the spring prom, Homer, Ross, and Belinda White.
The band starts to play the school song as we cut to Sue in the wings, the implications of the cord and the bucket positioned over the throne just starting to dawn on her as everyone begins singing the school song.
What's the matter with you? Pull it!
Chris shudders involuntarily at the mention of his nickname. She violently jerks the cord with both hands, yanking it. A sound, half scream, half moan, comes from her mouth. The steel bucket high above the stage slowly tipping over, the blood pouring from it.
That gave me the creeps.
I love horror movies. Elliot, you and I are big horror movie fans. Yes. You have a Nightmare on Chicago Avenue tomorrow night,
Nightmare
don't you?
Nightmare on Chicago Street tomorrow.
Chicago Street.
And yes, I also wrote a horror comic for a while.
Yeah.
The Army of Darkness book. So yeah, horror is up my alley. And this particular scene that we read... I remember, guys, you know, when we were first flipping through this, I didn't know what we were going to be reading. And then I got to that last page.
Because
I was like,
Michael,
yeah.
So cleverly changed the names.
Changed the names. And I got to the end and I'm like, oh, it's that movie. I mean, this is really one of the more iconic films this scene that we just read is the scene.
Well, let's get to our listeners so we can talk about this movie in particular. What were you gonna say, Dave?
I was gonna say, you know, maybe because I am not a horror film fan and I've seen so few of them, this one being one of them, I knew what it was like on the first page.
Yeah, because you've seen that particular image.
This movie is so well shot. The actress that plays the lead is one of my favorite actresses of all time. Mm. I will watch anything she does. And we'll talk about that in a moment as soon as we get the answer, so don't give it away. 312-981-7200. What's that from? Lenora, do you know what movie that's from?
Carrie.
Yeah! Yay! Carrie, you've been on hold. You let the phone ring and ring and ring because Michael answers the phone, and he couldn't get to you until he was done doing the stage directions. He had a lot of wordage there. What gave it away for you right away? Because, I mean, their names were changed. Was it the prom element of it?
You know what? It was the spring prom, and I feel the same way you guys do. I don't see that many horror movies, and that was the one that I saw. And I just remembered it from when it came out originally.
I think that the opening scenes where she's in the girls' locker room and she starts to menstruate, and I mean, like, it's such an interesting foreshadowing to the end of the movie where she's like confused and scared and being made fun of, and it builds on itself. I mean, for me, the horror scene is actually the opening scene, is being naked in the locker room with everyone laughing at you. It begins on such an incredible note of building that sort of conflict. Oh, Lenora. So where are you calling from, Lenora?
Geneva.
Oh, from Geneva. Excellent. So it's not too bad. I mean, Glenview's not that bad of a haul if you want to go there and say hi to Steve Shapiro to, you know, claim your... And we will send you a gift card, but if you want to shop there, otherwise you can also go to apt.com, ABT. Yes?
Thank you so much. I've got everything in my kitchen. It's from Apt.
Oh, there you go. Perfect. You can add something else. Whatever you... Maybe a new radio. I don't know. Just some terrestrial radio. Hold on the line. And Mike, do you celebrate Halloween? Do you do it up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been trying to look at some new ideas for decorating. So I'm so glad. I'm actually going to watch Carrie. I have to watch Carrie this weekend. It's one of my favorite movies. Have a great night. You have a great night, Leonora.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hold the line, and Michael will get your information. Yes, Dave?
Well, by the way, the remake of Carrie, yeah, not good. Some of these movies just shouldn't be remade.
Well,
they just shouldn't.
I was wondering if this was from, because I don't, the dialogue, for me, Carrie is more of a visual. I saw it when I was way too young to have Piper, is her name Piper Laurie?
Piper Laurie, yeah.
Oh, she's so good as the mom. Have you seen the movie, Ken?
Yes, a long time ago.
Right? But I mean, like, those moments stay
with you.
I've
read the book.
Right.
The book is brilliant. I mean, it's Stephen King's
well, all of his
first
books are brilliant.
Big book, but that's what launched him.
Yep.
And he's talked about that particular character in other books afterwards. Like he said, he didn't particularly like the character of Carrie, who she was
in the book or in the movie.
In the book,
I was gonna say.
When he as he was writing her, he didn't particularly like her, which made me feel even bad for the character because it's like when the guy who created you doesn't like you, then obviously that's why he puts her through so many terrible things. And yes, Sissy Spacek is incredible in this.
Oh my God.
In this movie.
I wanted to be Sissy Spacek when I was younger. I wanted to be that.
You
wanted
to kill people.
I wanted to be that light skin
with her brain. With
orange hair.
An orange hair. I wanted to be redhead. My sister actually looked like Carrie Fisher. So it was my half sister Glenna looks like Carrie Fisher. I mean Carrie Fisher. Carrie Sissy Spacek. Okay. Carrie Fisher. I look like more like Carrie Fisher than anybody else in the family, at least at the time. By the way, that's the greatest story about Carrie Fisher that came out this week.
Yes, it is. The harassment story.
You hear this, Ken?
Yeah. That is awesome.
When Carrie Fisher, one of her friends, is being sexually harassed by a producer in Hollywood. And by the way, Dave, there are two versions of this. One was that she sent a box, but there was a flip to it, was that she walked a Tiffany box into this producer's office. And when he opened it, it had a cow's tongue in it. And she said, if you bother her again, it's going to be a part of you in a smaller box.
And that's why she didn't work.
Yeah. I love that story. Tom's on the line. You were holding on for a bit, even though we got the answer. Tom, did you want to join the conversation?
Well, I did have to say I did have the right answer, but yes, I did enjoy that movie, and that's probably one of the few that I actually could have gotten it. I didn't get it until you started to reference The Bucket of Blood.
Fair enough. That was
definitely an awesome movie.
And by the way, hardly anybody ever talks about the fact that John Travolta is the one that pulls that cord.
Actually, the role that I read of Homer was played by William Catt, who you might
know.
Greatest American hero, yeah.
Believe it or not,
I'm walking on air.
So it reruns on Antenna TV.
Yeah.
I love that TV show.
I love William Catt. There's another. He did another horror movie with the house with the medicine cabinet. Doesn't he get into the horror house of the cabinet?
Oh yeah, and then he auditioned for the role of Luke Skywalker.
Yes.
In Star Wars, and it's funny because auditions for Star Wars was at the same time. It was Lucas and Brian De Palma. They were doing pretty much readings at the same time to cast for their movies, and I believe it was during this reading that Brian De Palma discovered William Catt to have him in Carrie.
Wow.
So, you know, it's all those little intersections going on
with the
film. So.
But did you know that the Greatest American Hero was only on 3 seasons?
Well,
I loved that show. Robert Culp was fabulous
in that show.
Well, when you consider that it was essentially Welcome Back, Cotter, with Cotter having a superhero suit, you know, I kept going, wait a minute, his students, they're the Sweat Hogs. It's like the same guys.
Tom, you know? Are there other horror movies that you like?
I am a Saw fan.
A Saw?
Oh,
I've seen, believe it or not, I've seen every one of those. Yeah.
Really?
Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stop.
Yeah. Man,
never
saw
Star Wars.
Never have. Nope.
But you've seen all
every
the Saw
movies. I saw
the first Saw. For me, I mean, it was years after it had come out.
Does it make you feel like you're in politics? Is that why?
Well, I saw the first Saw, and I said, boy, this is really good. And there's like a series of them. So I went to the store back when there used to be a place where you can go buy DVDs. And I bought the DVDs to the entire series that was out.
Oh my God.
I spent an entire night watching Saw 1, 2, 3.
I am suddenly really worried about you.
Yeah.
Oh, seriously.
There's some great plots in
no that. No time in his life for Star Wars, but no.
Saw
1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
Saw,
6, 7,
Saw
14.
Was good.
Okay, tell me. Because Carrie Elwes is in the first Saw.
Yes.
Have you seen The Princess Bride?
I have. No, I actually have not. I know. I've heard about it. I've seen. I've seen maybe 30 seconds here, 60 seconds there.
Okay, I have a confession.
You never seen The Princess Bride?
I've never seen The Princess Bride.
Okay. Tom, have you seen The Princess Bride?
I can't say as I have. That I know she's in that, I guess I have to.
Yeah, you got
to
see.
The writer of The Princess Bride is a season ticket holder to the New York Knicks for about the last 40 years.
William Goldman.
Right, he sits center court.
Tom, have a great night. Maybe next week. We promise to do another horror movie next week. All right. Have a good night. Have a great weekend. By the way, before we go, Harold wants to talk about, hold on, let me make sure I do this right. That way and then that way. Hey, Harold, what's up?
Hey, guys, how you doing? Hey, you know, Stephen King threw Carrie in the garbage. He didn't think it was going to be that great.
Yeah, no,
his wife went and pulled it out, and she looked at it. She said, "What are you doing?" Mm-hmm. And he says, "It's not working out. I don't think I like it."
It's such a good movie.
And then shortly after that, sold the rights to it, and the rest is history. It was his first hit.
I had no idea.
Hey, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Do you know the caller Steven?
It's for Harold.
Harold. And the answer is 4.
You're close. What's the significance of the number 39 today, Saturday? The number 39 will dominate today.
Jack Benny's the 8.
No. Uh-uh.
It's a good guess, though. I like
today's
that.
Reference.
Today is the 39th Game 7 in Major League Baseball history. Tonight.
Only, oh, really?
Only 39. Houston and the Yankees. Yeah.
And you're by all appearances, you were rooting for the Astros.
Well, I'd like to see Justin Verlander get into the World Series. By the way, Justin, what's the significance of the number 5 tonight? Justin Verlander pitched in his 5th elimination game. He now has the lowest earned run average in the history of Major League Baseball of pitchers who pitched in 4 or more elimination games. His ERA in those 5 games, 1.24. He is not allowed to run in an elimination game in 24 innings.
I'm not allowed to take any more time before going to a break. More to this on 720 WGN. Thank you, Harold.